Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and let's look at verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said unto them, Why, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that wherein he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Let's bow and have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless your word today. Lord, as we heard again in Sunday school, and we are just so grateful and thankful, Lord, that you gave us a sure word of prophecy. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this book. Lord, help us to honor these things that have been inspired and written. Help us, Lord, to faithfully preach them, to obey them, to love them, to follow them, to read them. Lord, we ask that this service, your name and your name alone, might be lifted up. Lord, have your way, we pray. We give this service into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a lot that I could preach on this particular story here, on this particular passage. It's just an incredible story. But what I want to concentrate on is I want to concentrate on one thing that Jesus said to this man. Now, as we read the story, you see the context. You see that Jesus was inside of a house. And of course, because of the crowd, because of the throng, they couldn't get this man in to see Jesus. Now, I don't know. I would be willing to bet that Jesus was known as a healer. And so people were constantly bringing sick people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I imagine their main motivation was to get this man healed of his palsy. I imagine that was probably their main motivation, to find some help for their friend. And that, by the way, if you want to, I mean, this is just a side note, if you want to judge present day healers on their effectiveness, use stories like this right here. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find anybody now that calls themselves a healer, they're usually not. They put all kinds of conditions. I remember when I was a teenager, I got healed by a couple of Pentecostals. No offense if you're Pentecostal, but they healed me, you know, and anointed my eyes with olive oil. And by the way, you know what? Olive oil, it burns when it gets in your eyes. And so, they healed my eyes. I was having a lot of trouble. I'd already had one set of surgeries on my eyes. And then they said, just claim your healing. And so, okay, fine. I did, you know. And I still couldn't see. And I asked, I said, you know, I'm not seeing any better. And he says, well, you have to wait for the manifestation of the healing. Oh, okay. You know, I waited 3 days and I put my glasses back on. I gave up, you know. Hey, if it had been a real healing, you know, I bet what would have happened. I bet I would have opened my eyes and said, wow, man, this is great. By the way, when Jesus heals, he does a good job. Because he's got the power over the flesh. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't still heal today. I've seen it, and I've heard accounts. Jesus Christ still heals the body today. But beware of healers. You know, the fact that these people were all excited and amazed when Jesus healed the body, and they were incredibly offended and questioning when he tried to heal the soul, gives me good indication where men's priorities lay today. You know where our priorities lay? They lay in the outward, don't they? You know why a lot of people want to pray? You know, they talk, and they had a couple of articles, you know, in mainstream press about the power of prayer, right? You guys remember reading some of those articles? I think it might have been Time or Newsweek or one of those where they described the power of prayer in healing, you know? And how, you know, people that generally pray, and of course they were lumping, you know, Muslims and just everybody together, anybody that prayed to any God anywhere at any time, and that how, you know, that has physical effects, and well, it's because that's what people are interested in, you know? Tell you what, if we had something to offer, if we could offer something to people today and say, look, let me tell you something about God. If you'll just bring your problems to Him, He'll solve them all. He's going to pay all of your debts, man. You're going to be financially free forever. That'd be cool, except, you know, you read about the disciples, you read the histories after the New Testament. Most of the apostles, those 12 that followed, they died broke. Paul, there were times when he was hungry and he suffered need. I'm sorry, we can't offer you that. I can't give you a promise that if you'll come to Jesus Christ today, that all your debts will be paid and you'll be financially free forever. Truth is, though, that a lot of people that do end up getting saved, they are financially better off. What are cigarettes now? How much do they cost now? 35 cents a pack, that's what they were, you know, when I was young. I'm waiting for somebody to say, $4.95. I ain't going to tell them how much cigarettes are. Hey, you stop spending your money on cigarettes and on booze, on drugs, on pot, you know, on going out living. You know what? You have a little bit more money to pay your bills. You see, God and His rules and the way He set up the Bible and the way that you ought to live helps you out and it benefits you. Yeah, there is a benefit to getting saved. But by the same token, I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to be good. I'm not going to tell you that if you come to Jesus Christ, that your cancer is going to disappear and be gone, that you can claim the word of faith and that all of a sudden everything disappears, because it is not so. We need healing on the inside more than we need healing on the outside. Our insides are messed up more than our outsides are. Hey, if you got problems with your finances, you got problems in your family, you got problems with your body, you got problems with your car, that's nothing in comparison to the problems you have with your soul. Let me tell you what you need today. You need the forgiveness of sins. You need to have your sins forgiven. You know what your problem is? Your problem is not a financial one. Your problem is a sin problem. And that's what He came to heal. So He brought this man in. This man had obvious problems. And they brought him in, and the first thing he says is, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." He healed his soul before he ever touched his body. Now, granted, you're looking for bodily healing. I guarantee it's going to come. He's going to take all of the molecules of that body and He's going to start transforming them. You can cremate your, well, you can't cremate yourself, but you can get somebody to cremate your body, spread it out in the ocean. Some things I don't know. God will take all those molecules, all those things and all those ashes spread over the ocean. He'll bring it back together. You know what His promise is? Is that one day we are going to have an incorruptible body. Amen. We're going to have a body that's without spot, without sin. It's going to be perfect and incredible and eternal. Yeah, that's His promise for us. If you're looking for healing, you just got to wait a little bit longer and you're going to get your healing. Let me tell you what you ought to be worried about a little bit more, though, is the healing in your soul. Because He says right here, He says, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Now you would have think that the religious leaders at this time, they would have been right on, you know. Them Pharisees, those scribes, you know what they should have been saying? They should have been saying, Amen! They should have been saying, Hallelujah! Another one! Great! This is fantastic! You know, they should have been doing that, because I guarantee that's what the angels in heaven were doing. There's a party in heaven over one sinner that repents. I'm telling you, he healed his soul. I think that's great. The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And of course, there was God right in their very presence. There was the Messiah. There was the promised one right before them. And we won't get into all that. Look at Psalm chapter 130. Psalms 130. In verse 3, it says, If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Amen. Let me tell you where forgiveness lies. Forgiveness lies first and foremost with God. You want to get your sins forgiven? There's no human being in the world that has that power. I know that there are some scriptures in the New Testament that talk about authority and that talk about certain things that the church has authority over, and they twist those scriptures to try to make it seem like there is a special group of men out there that actually has the power to forgive your sins. But let me tell you, who can forgive sins but God only? It says there is forgiveness with thee. With God, God is the only one who has power to be able to forgive your sins. It doesn't matter that any priest on earth puts his hand on you and says, bless you, your sins are forgiven. You see, if they truly had the power to forgive sins, they'd also be able to tell when you're lying, right? I remember going to confession when I was a young Catholic. My priest knew my mom, my priest knew my dad, knew my grandparents, knew my uncles. Do you really think I'm going to tell that priest the truth? Come on, man. Yeah, I went to confession. I confessed sins, but none of mine. I'm not going to tell him. He knows everybody, man. I'm not trusting him with that. You'd think that if he really had that kind of power, he'd be able to tell me, hey, son, you're lying. Now, really, come on, tell me the truth. But he doesn't have that power to forgive my sins. You see, let me tell you something. The only place you can go, your only source for the forgiveness of sins is God himself. And if he marks iniquities, how in the world are you going to stand? If he says this right here is not forgiven, then where else are you going to go? You see, I tell you, men are spending a lot of time and energy trying to get rid of this burden of sin. Some men say, whoa, what burden of sin? Well, you can get your heart so deceived and so hard and so cold, but let me tell you something. Sin carries a burden, and you know it too. The hardest people. You talk to some of the most hardened criminals in the state penitentiary. Even they have their standards. And even they will mark certain types of crimes and saying, that ain't acceptable. Do you know what you're doing? A lot of people, in order to try to take away that burden of sin, are spending their time going and seeking pleasures. That's a fun thing to do. I mean, get involved in sports, get involved in some sort of activity, get involved in some sort of a hobby in order to take your mind away. Some people, they're getting into self-help books. You got a lot of self-help books that'll help you deal with guilt, help you deal with all these things. But let me tell you something, you are not going to get your sin problem taken care of until you realize that you have to go to the source, because your sin has offended God. Your sin is against God. You might seem to think that, you know, I've done some things wrong, but I've never hurt anybody. I've never involved anybody else. Well, that there is a lie, by the way. But you might even think that I haven't offended anybody, but you have offended God. And your sin is against God. And you've got to go to Him and Him alone for the forgiveness of sins. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31 and 34. This is a promise to, in the last days, to Israel, but I want to pick out a phrase in here of this promise because it certainly applies. Look at verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And then here's his promise to them. He says, For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember them no more. If we had the time, we could go through verses that says he separates them as far as the east is from the west. He takes them and he casts them into the depths of the sea to be remembered no more. Some people, they look at that verse and say, you know, that verse can't be true because, you know, God knows everything. And of course, God, you know, he's got to remember, you know, he's got to know. How can he make himself not know anymore? Well, let me tell you, this could be very much kind of a legal thing, you know. I'm telling you what, if I had a bill, it was, you know, I had a bill right there, you know, it's owed money. And all of a sudden, you know, not all of a sudden, but, you know, for some reason, that debt is forgiven. And then I've got that debt in writing, you know, and I've got it in writing. Can that company ever come back later and say, hey, man, you owe this debt? You know, I've got this thing right there that says, look, my debt's already forgiven. It's already taken care of. You know, what if I had a debt and then the evidence is just simply destroyed and there's no more evidence, there's no more anything? You know, I'm not saying that God, oh man, I don't remember. He's not going to remember it against you anymore. You know what I'm not afraid of? I'm not afraid of those sins that God has forgiven me of coming back to haunt me later. Because they're done. They have been paid. He has forgiven my iniquities. He's not going to come back and say, well, you know what? I changed my mind. I think I'm going to go ahead and hold that against you. He's already forgiven it. It's never going to be remembered against me anymore. That means you're free. You realize that? And this is not a selective forgiveness that God is offering here. Do you know that there are certain debts that if you file bankruptcy, you know, file bankruptcy at the, I mean, just when there is nothing else available. I mean, by all means, try to stay out of it. Try not to do it. But even if you do, and you decide that this is our only option, we've got, you know, there are certain debts that even bankruptcy doesn't absolve. I'm not sure exactly what they are. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I heard student loans aren't forgiven. I heard that, you know, the IRS certainly doesn't forgive their debts. You got to go to them and work out something with them. You know, you file bankruptcy, let me tell you something, you still got to pay your taxes. This is not a tax seminar, but talking about sins here. What I'm trying to explain is that, hey, look, you know, there are certain forgivenesses that are selective forgivenesses. But if you go to God for salvation, if you go to God to restore your soul, He's not going to line up all of your iniquities and all of your sins and then just select certain ones and say, you know what, I can take care of that one. And you know, I think I can take the care of that one and I can take care of this one right here. Man, I'm telling you, if you go to God and you repent of your sins and you trust the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did, you will come up absolutely clean and free because He will forgive everyone. It's what it says right there. I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sin no more. Sometimes when I go home, I'll be turning 50 years old this week. I mean, not this week. See, you get old, you forget. It's next week. It's in September. But an amazing thing, you go home and you got the aunts and you got the uncles and they're all sitting around. You know what they love to play? They love to play the game, Remember When? Oh, Brian, remember when you, you know,
And then they start telling you about all the stupid stuff you did when you were 15, you know, or 16 or 17, you know. Thank God I left when I was 17 and all my other stupid stuff I did out of their presence. They don't know about it. But all they're playing, remember when. You know what I'm going to be so thankful of is I get before the presence of God and He's not going to play remember when with me. Remember, Brother Brian, when you were this and that? No, they will be remembered no more. Man, there's stuff in my path. That's what, you know, that's what so many of us have said the same thing. I ain't running for public office. I ain't going to be governor. Why? Because they dig up stuff on you. Man, they knew if you did something in the third grade. In third grade, you walk out of the bathroom with your zipper undone. Man, the boy must be a pervert, you know? Exhibitionist, you know? They'll dig up stuff on you. They'll make you look like the worst criminal. No way, you know? Not for us, man. It's better left under the blood. You know, it's so good to be free. It's so good to be clean and to be forgiven. You ought to try it. If you have never come to Jesus Christ, you ought to go to Him and find out what this forgiveness of sins is all about. Look at the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 7. Ephesians in chapter 1 in verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You see, this lays it out pretty clear how Jesus Christ accomplished the forgiveness of sin and how He had the power and the authority to be able to say to somebody, thy sins be forgiven thee. Because let me tell you something with a debt. We can look at parables in the Bible that talk about, you know, this king had certain debtors and, you know, and one, he completely forgave the debt. Well, you know, say, you know, Brother Lucas, you know, I don't owe him any money, but if I did, man, say I owe the man $200. And then he looked at me and he says, hey, you know, don't worry about it. Forget it. And he just freely forgave me. You know, be a good brother to do that, right? Just freely forgave me. That means what? I don't owe $200 anymore. But say, where did that $200 come from? Who takes the load for that? Well, he does. That's $200 out of his pocket, right? That's his account. It's receivable that he's not going to get. He's got to write that off. He declares it as a loss. Let me tell you, sin, somebody pays. It's not free. You just can't haphazardly just forgive something. Something's got to happen. And that's what Jesus Christ is all about. God sent His only Son into the world. And He became sin for us who knew no sin. He was perfect and He was righteous. And yet He took sin upon Himself. And He took all the wrath of God. And He died on the cross. You know, some people, they have this trite little phrase, how much did Jesus love us? You know, and then He stretched out His arms and He died. Listen, it's so much more than that. He's not just teaching us some sort of self-sacrificing way to live. He was actually the Lamb of God which took away the sin of the world. He is the only propitiation for sins. And His blood and His blood alone washes away the stain of sin. That's why it doesn't matter how much yoga you take, your sins are still on you. You can read, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, and your sins will still be on you. You can figure out little mental tricks to be able to get rid of the guilt, and your sin stain will still be on you. Why? Because the Lord has marked iniquities. And there's only one way He's going to take that stain away, and that's with the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the victory in Jesus, Brother John, that's in the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, the only way you get your sins forgiven is by going to Jesus Christ. That's what it's trying to tell you. In whom? It's in a person. It's not in a philosophy. It's not in something else. It's in a person in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. It says there in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So you see, there's some people that they feel pretty good about themselves. You know, they've been fine citizens. You got a lot of friends, you know, maybe a lot of people that say you're cool. By the way, watch what people say about you. If all kinds of people are telling all kinds of... Somebody told me one time, don't believe everything good they say about you. By the way, don't believe everything bad they say about you either. But by any means, don't say anything good. Because you know what? By your experience, I bet you already know this too. All men are liars. Man, I've seen lies in all kinds of ways. I've caught myself in lies of all kinds of ways. You know, get done preaching at the rescue mission and they pat you on the back. They're still as lost as when they walked in and on the road to hell. But they're saying, good sermon, parson, good sermon. Come on, you know better than that. I've been preaching on sin and on drunkenness and on the fact that you're driving yourself right down to hell and you're going to be lost still and tell me good sermon. Yeah, watch what people say about you. You know what? It's better to find the opinion of God. Because God's the one who marks. God's the one who searches the heart. God's the one that tries. Listen, we can put on a good show. Some of the best shows we put on are the ones we put on right before we get married, right? I'm serious. I shaved every day when I was courting Judy. Not before then and not after, but in that little short time, you know, looked a little more in the mirror than I did. I talked a little bit nicer, you know, said those things that I thought she needed to hear, you know. And you know what? I'll bet 10-1 she was doing the same thing. The makeup and all that kind of stuff. You know, let me tell you, we can put on a show before each other. Sometimes in church, it's really easy. There's some churches, it doesn't take much. All you got to do is walk into church with a Bible, tuck it under your arm like this, try your best not to cuss, say praise the Lord now and then, sit down, actually get songbooks and sing, you know, shake people's hands a little bit. People think you're wonderful. You might even deceive us. Sure, really? Come on, you come talking like that and acting like that? And if we say, hey man, have you saved? Yes sir, man, blood washed and all that. You can say those words and you can deceive us. But let me tell you, there's a God who searches the hearts. His eyes burn as a flame of fire and He looks past the facade and He can see right down to the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows what you did. He knows why you did it when you don't even yourself know why you did it. He knows you better. He knows how many hairs are upon your head. He can count the number of cells in your body. He knows everything about you and you're going to put on a show before Him and you're going to say, I got no sin. I'm all right. I'm good enough. I think I'm going to make it. No, let me tell you what His opinion is. His opinion is all have gone out of the way. Altogether become unprofitable. I'll just pick it up there. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I looked for a man that could stand in the gap. He couldn't find anybody. You know, when God looks out over humanity, He sees a lost and dying world, and He sees you as you really are. We've got a track that I like, and it's got on the front a picture of a good-looking young woman, you know, a headshot of a good-looking young woman. On the inside, it's got a picture of a skull, you know. I'm telling you, that's how God truly sees. He sees the depth of your depravity. Because even if you are pretty good, You're not good enough. You're not going to meet God's standard of righteousness. You compare yourself to Jesus Christ and you fall far short. Oh, listen, you've got to stop deceiving yourself. You got to stop talking yourself into this mode that makes you think that you're good enough and that you're not a nasty, wicked sinner that needs to be saved like those guys down at the rescue mission or some other person that you compare yourself to. Man, stop comparing yourself to other people. Go to God and let Him show you what you really are. Let me tell you what you need. You need the forgiveness of sins. You need that Jesus Christ to tell you, thy sins be forgiven you. You have to have that.
If you don't have the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and that's why it says right there, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. As long as you think you're good, as long as you think you're fine and you're going to make it okay, we can't help you. There's nothing salvation can do for you because you're not willing to humble yourself and get on your knees and declare to God that you're just a wicked sinner in need of forgiveness.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, you got to go before God honestly. That's why you don't confess before us. That's why you don't come up here, you know, and you know, but we're used to that, right? I remember preaching the rescue mission one time. I got done. I said, anybody like to talk about the Bible? Guy got up and came to the front. I said, all right, man, finally someone to talk to. And he got down on his knees and he put his hand on my knee and he says, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 6 weeks since my last confession. It's kind of cool, though, because I got to say, get up. I myself am also a man, you know. But, oh, man, I can't forgive your sins. I can't even go to God and make a deal with you. I can't go back and forth for you. There's nobody else that can plead your God. You know who your advocate is. You know who your lawyer is. It's Jesus Christ. Why is it that this world is going hog wild over every other thing, that they're teaching the Quran in our public schools, but the Bible is not allowed? That they are actually having some of our kids, and this is fact, man, role-playing Ramadan, but they won't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. He's the only answer, not any of these other things. But our wicked tendency and our wicked nature is one that is against God, the one that resents God. And there are people walking around on these streets every day, and maybe you're one of them, that right now you're mad at God, you're angry at God, you're frustrated at God, God is all your problems. Let me tell you, He is your only solution. He's your only answer, He's your only help. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What if I go to Him and I confess my sins and He says, nah, too late, you're too bad. No, a lot of people are offended by this. If Hitler himself had gotten down on his knees and cried out to God for mercy, God would have saved him. You say, there's no way. He's too bad. This is hideous. And it's offensive to some of you. It'd be offensive to me. But let me tell you, there was one like that. There was a murderer who was sedition and murder and actually took other people's lives without their permission, messed people up. And he's there on the cross dying justly for his sins. And Jesus looked upon that man and he said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he saved him off of his deathbed. Off of his execution and saved his soul. Listen, He can save you. His blood's powerful enough. He's willing. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to be saved today. He desires that you humble yourself before Him and that you call upon His name and be saved. Look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 19. Look at back up to verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You know how I know that this is something only God can do? Because there's no way that we can do this. No way. I can't do this. He is somebody who is, in our society, we can't do this. He is somebody who is convicted of some sort of heinous crime against children. There is nobody in their right mind that ever again in that man's life would ever take him and let him work in a daycare or in a nursery. Oh yeah, we might say, you know what? Okay, everything's said and done. We're finished. No, I'm telling you, there are sins that we commit against each other that we can never fully reconcile for. You get a husband cheats on his wife, a wife cheats on her husband. Yeah, they can rebuild second best, but you know that original trust, that original innocency, that original intimacy, it's gone forever. Oh yeah, there's forgiveness with us, but to a point. There are certain things that we don't have the power to do or that we... No, but let me tell you something. God has the power to reconcile us to himself. There are things I can never reconcile with another human being, but God can. That's the wonderful thing about the forgiveness with God, is that he can reconcile you to himself to where you again have a relationship with him. That's what forgiveness of sins is all about. He can clean you up. He can make you to where he doesn't remember your sins anymore. Yeah, you might still have to pay for them here in this life. There are prisoners that say, hey man, I'm a Christian now. Can I get out? No. Why? Because you did this and here's the sentence. You know, we want you off our streets. You know, it doesn't absolve you. But let me tell you, in the courts of heaven, everybody that's in heaven is going to be clean, is going to be forgiven, is going to be whole, finally, once and for all. Any sin that you have today, it doesn't matter what it is, can be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And God can reconcile you to himself to where you have a relationship with him. That's his promise. His promise to you today is that he wants you to come to him and call upon his name and receive the forgiveness of sins. That's his desire for you today. My question is, are you going to call? What's going to keep you from coming to Jesus Christ to get this incredible miracle that happened to this man that had the palsy when Jesus forgave his sins? What is it that continues to keep you from coming to God? Is it resentment? Is it pride? Is it some sort of something else in your spirit that's keeping you from coming? Man, I tell you what, I'd run away from all those things. I'd get as close to Jesus Christ as I possibly could. If I were in your shoes and I wasn't saved and I knew that Jesus Christ died for my sins and he promised to save my soul, man, I wouldn't spend another second. There's people, should I get saved or not? Should I give up my sins or not? To me, there's no question. Call upon his name. Cry out to him for forgiveness. Let him forgive your sins and save your soul. And let me tell you something, you'll never be the same again. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray